Welcome to the Space Show, Andrew.
Good afternoon, Andrew.
What is COSPAS SARSAT?
COSPAS SARSAT is a collection, is a body that runs or organises a group of satellites that detect emergency beacons that operate on 406 megahertz. The hardware essentially is contributed or provided by the Russians and United States, and they in turn with France and Canada run the system. Our area that Australia is responsible for is called the Search and Rescue Region, where any beacon that is activated in that area, which essentially comprises 1/10 of the Earth's surface, we are responsible in responding to alerts that are received by the satellite. In Canberra, we have the hardware that has the beacon detections sent to, so we essentially see a map on a screen and where the detection has taken place. The beacons that are detected, as I mentioned earlier, on 406 megahertz, are beacons that are registered, so that we know if that beacon has been registered, we will know who has activated the beacon, what type of beacon it is, whether it's a marine style beacon, an aircraft beacon, or what's called a personal locator beacon, so we can identify, potentially identify the platform that it's been activated on. The registration of beacons is done by our office. Whenever someone buys a 406 megahertz beacon, we implore that individuals have them registered so that it can make our response more accurate and timely in the first instance. The COSPAS SARSAT system has been operating for a number of years now. It used to detect the old style beacons on 121.5 and 243 megahertz. Those older style beacons unfortunately are still in the system, and again we implore anyone who has those to dispose of those properly and purchase the new digital style 406 megahertz beacon. That's pretty much it in a nutshell.
So these beacons, can they only be picked up by the satellite, or can they be picked up by other means, by ground stations and so on?
The beacons...
Or even perhaps passing the aircraft.
Yes, that's a good point. The beacons actually transmit on two frequencies. The 1215 or 121.5 megahertz frequency is still broadcast, just as they were in the old style beacons. That signal is an audible tone when tuned into a normal VHF radio. Can be detected by airborne aircraft, so typically domestic jet aircraft or international aircraft that are cruising will monitor that frequency. So it's quite possible we'll be first alerted of a beacon of a beacon activation by an aircraft before an orbiting satellite may be within view. So it's possible that'll be the first method of alert. Also, that frequency is used by homing aircraft or helicopters to pinpoint when they're obviously proceeding to the area to quickly find the incident site.
And how many times a year, on average, would you expect the system to come into play in the Australian area?
The COSPAS SARSAT system detects beacons every day. Unfortunately, we have a lot of inadvertent alerts, so a beacon may be accidentally bumped on or activated, and thankfully if it is registered we can typically contact the owner or the emergency contact, and they're able to indicate very quickly to us whether or not it was an accidental activation, or possibly they may indicate an activity being undertaken by the user which may alert us to something actually serious, something potentially serious may have occurred. But unfortunately we still would have more inadvertent or accidental activations than we do real alerts. We can even be in the situation of finding beacons that have been incorrectly disposed of, so we'll even get activations in rubbish dumps and so on.
And I guess those cost a lot of money.
Potentially, it could involve the tasking of air crew and equipment. So I suppose it could potentially cost tens of thousands of dollars, depending on where that beacon is located and how difficult and how long it has taken. It can involve both air crew, police, and other ground crews trying to locate a potentially inadvertent activation. I suppose that's an extreme case, but it certainly has occurred from time to time.
And do people who get rescued by the system get charged for the costs?
No one is sent a bill. That's just international convention that anyone who gets into difficulties in Australia will be paid for by essentially the taxpayer. And we would expect the same if we were to visit someone else's country and got into difficulty, then their search and rescue system would help us without sending us a bill.
I notice in the cabinet behind us you have a number of different types of beacons, including some that say they're GPS, and you're encouraging people to use them. Tell us a little bit about that, please.
Okay, most beacons that are produced today now do have a built-in GPS. Some of the earlier models didn't. I guess that was a more of a technological and cost things to that was the main difference there. But the GPS, when a beacon is activated and detected by the satellite, will obviously give us a more timely and accurate indication of where someone may be in difficulty. Whereas without a GPS, the orbiting satellite has to determine the beacon's location with the use of Doppler, and that in the early stages can be some miles out. And that's why we still have the 1215 homing component. So we can send a rescue asset to the general area, and when they detect that audible signal I was talking about earlier, they can use homing equipment on board the aircraft or helicopter to pinpoint. But if you were to have a GPS, that obviously can be within 10 to 30 metres, and we could send an aircraft or a helicopter that may not have homing equipment to still be able to go direct to the area. So that would be the main reason why we'd encourage people to purchase a beacon with GPS built in already.
So there are people walking around Australia today that owe their lives to the system?
Sorry, could you ask that again?
There are people walking around Australia today that owe their lives to the system?
Oh, certainly, yes. I think our largest component would be the marine environment, where people have come to grief in one form or another.
From the Avalon air show, that was one of the jets taking off there, and it doesn't want to go away.
Quite noisy, obviously. So as I was saying, certainly there are people walking around today who owe their lives to owning an EPIRB or a PLB or an ELT. I suppose. And not only that, the best form of rescue in some cases is the individual having being appropriately equipped with not just an emergency beacon but other sorts of safety equipment as well. An obvious one being life jackets and having the appropriate experience to operate a vessel or other types of craft that they're using in the first instance. So to be properly prepared before undertaking an activity, not just taking the emergency device.
Well, thanks for joining us on the Space Show, Andrew.
That's my pleasure, Andrew. Thank you very much.
It's hard to compete with that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I hope that gives you a bit of...
That's smaller one aircraft.